You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
All right, well, let's do this. If you are helping lead steps, why don't you do this? If you could come up and just kind of sit here in these chairs along the front row, that way we know how many we have left. And or if you're Joshua, you can just stay right there because you're already in the front row, right? There you go, if you don't want to move or whatever. So, yeah, let's do this. We'll just, whoever wants to go first can jump up. And there's a couple of more seats. There's seats down here, seats. Awesome. Thank you guys for being willing to do this. So, Joshua, we're going to go this way. Okay, I'm going to let Joshua lead off because... Oh, Caitlin just sat in the... Yeah. Come on now. Caitlin.
This is when we give our testimonies, right?
Yeah.
I have nothing planned. Okay.
Oh.
So we came to Steps in Recovery about, what, 3 years ago, babe? Yes, that was awesome. 3 years ago, and I came very begrudgingly. It was on the heels of finding out about my husband's drug addiction and getting kicked out of our old church subsequently as a result of how I handled the news of his drug addiction and a myriad of other things. So I said I would never cast my shadow on a church ever again. And my loving husband also signed me up for Steps right away. And somebody, I still don't know who she was, I should probably find out, emailed me and said, I'm so excited to be your mentor. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. Not doing it, not touching it with a 10-foot pole. And so I didn't do it. And then Joshua completed Steps that season. And somewhere in there, I decided to come, and then I went to the celebration ceremony, and I was like, oh, okay, I see. I've seen change, you know, the past few weeks, 13 weeks, and I thought, okay, all right, I'll test out, like, this recovery thing. And so I started to come, and I think I went to recovery the next semester, and then I'm looking to you for... validation, yeah. And then in the fall, I attended Steps. It was really hard. But God did a really big work on my heart. And I would be lying to say that when I finished, you know, 13 weeks of Steps, that I was like, I am no longer bitter. I am the perfect wife. and that is just not the case at all. But I did have a better understanding of the motives of my heart. I had a better understanding of the way that God loves us and of the ways in which... we love others and how we might either accept or reject that love depending on the circumstances that we're walking through. And so I started out not really being so sure about Steps in Recovery and the whole like church thing, and found myself the next semester still coming, and I'm still coming, and now I'm leading Steps. And it's been really sweet. So, yeah, there we go.
That was really brave. So my name is Joshua, and I also am related to my wife. Whoa! Let's clarify. We are married through the state of Texas. So my name is Joshua, and clearly I'm in need of a lot of grace. And so in my life, I, as my wife said, had drug addiction, drug, alcohol, cocaine, amphetamines, pretty much anything I get my hands on. I would excessively use it to a 24/7 cycle. That landed me also in a treatment facility similar to Michael, although unlike him, I stayed clean in treatment. However, as soon as I got out 6 months later, I went through steps and then I relapsed. So there's that. However, in those 3 years of consistently being in community, what that has taught me is about honest and genuine repentance, about seeking the wise counsel and to get into the presence of Lord by being in the presence of others. And that has really been foundational in my life change. You know, drugs were a far bigger symptom of a lot of other heart issues, a lot of sin that was going on in my own life. And that was mainly birthed from going through the foster system as a child through the state of Texas. They seized me from my family. There's a lot of violence that landed me in the hospital. So from an early age, I transitioned from foster care families, finally living with my grandmother, and then also just some sex abuse in my own life. So there are a lot of reasons that I really blamed everything on God, lack of trust in those that should take care of me, lack of trust in any authority figure as I had been abused. And so I really just rebelled. I ran as far as I could go and also knew all the churchy lingo because I was raised in church. So I could be like, yeah, we're covered by the blood, Jesus. And that is true, but that can be a biblical platitude that we may just offer up in a moment to hide ourselves what's really going on. And for me, that landed me in far much more problems the longer I just hid behind Christianese. And so I would just encourage you during this season, like, keep showing up and just keep coming back. And regardless if you're in recovery or if you signed up for steps, and whatever you signed up for, just keep coming back through consistency. The Lord has just really done a work in my life. My story is not like one of those where you just, man, I was doing drugs, the Lord touched me, and I stopped doing drugs. It didn't happen that way for me. It was, man, I got clean, and then I got dirty, and then I got clean, and then I got dirty, and then I got clean, and then Jesus stepped in, and then slowly but surely began restoring the years of my life that the locusts have stripped away. And so I would encourage you to just keep showing up. That's all I got. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Mike Hill, and throw me off here. I'm a financial guy, so I'm going to use numbers here. My numbers are 6, 11, 65, 40, 38, and 2. So that tells my life story. It's who won. So now 6'11 is my height, in case you're curious. That's for free. That doesn't mean much, but it was part of growing up. I always felt like a misfit. I felt like I didn't fit in with everybody else, this giant kid. But 65 is my age. By God's grace, I've lived this long. That means that on the one hand, I'm never sure what part will hurt the most or what part will be least functioning every morning when I wake up. So that's part of that. But I am retired now, and I'm available for a lot of ministry, and I love that part of being retired, being older and retired. I'm 40. 40 years I've been married to my wonderful Susie, and some of you know her, and we have been through many of the same struggles that some of y'all have shared also, Lord. Some of the struggles we've gone through 40 years have been just really difficult, but they have honed us and they have sanctified us. The Lord has used those to refine us. 38 years I've known and walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm like you, Joshua. That's been up and down. It hasn't been a poof, you're all fixed moment there. 38 years ago, I did commit my life to the Lord. I gave myself completely to Him. I trusted in His Word, and that was settled. But through that time, I developed a whole lot of bad habits, a whole lot of problems there. 2 years I've been involved with recovery, and that was about the same time I retired from work that I came into recovery. And it was because for me, I had been through some struggles with lust and some struggles with anger, struggles with all the things that are active sins. Those I'd struggled with, but it was the passive sins that really brought me here. I sensed I didn't have a heart for the Lord. I was being complacent. I was just being not as enthusiastic as I was formerly, and I hated that. So I came here, and I found genuine people. So like you say, I found genuine people who I could be open and honest with. I could be real. I could confess what's wrong with me, and they wouldn't put me out like some people do. some places do. I could also see the Holy Spirit working. Even before I came here, I heard the stories of steps in recovery, and I knew this is where Jesus Christ is working. This is where the Holy Spirit is working right here. So I was excited to get into that. I came and then I volunteered to help in the kitchen, getting things ready. And before I knew it, Michael had asked me to be a volunteer helper, a worker, volunteer leader, I guess. And so I'm just available for whatever. I don't do anything real well, but I can do most things passively. So I'm a substitute for things, and I'll be substituting with Richard this year. So I'm grateful for that. I've seen my own life and the lives of others changed as we apply the whole gospel of following Jesus Christ. And that's what it is, whether we have an overt, concrete, active sin or whether it's just that passive complacency. The answer is following moment by moment, day by day, year by year with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so that's what I'm learning to do with you guys. And finally, there's no number. And that's my appreciation for steps, for you who participate, for you who lead, for Michael and John and Allie who lead the leaders and keep us all kind of in step there. And for all of us who the Lord empowers to do what he is doing among us. My appreciation is just limitless, and it has no quantity for that. So I'm real thankful for that.
Hi. Sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice, so I'll do my best to speak. I came to Steps last year just kind of because I felt kind of complacent in my walk with the Lord. I grew up believing that because I was a good person, I would go to heaven. And so when I came to know the Lord, I had a hard time dividing the two of like, am I doing good because I want to be good and not get in trouble? Or am I going to be good because I want to follow the Lord and be obedient to him? And so through steps that kind of helped me kind of differentiate the two and really see my sin as it is instead of trying to hide behind it, because I would just be known as like the person who's following the rules and who's doing good things. And so that kind of helped me realize like, wow, I really do need a savior and I do need Jesus. And I don't just need to be good because that's not going to get me to heaven, but the Lord is going to get me to heaven in Jesus. And so, because of that, like I led a group last season in Steps, and it's just been so good to see like what the Lord is doing in other people's lives and being vulnerable with other people and just sharing what the Lord is doing. And through that, I've just come closer to the Lord, and I've come closer to other people just in being real and open more so. So, yeah.
I'm Erin. Thank you, Joshua. my family and I have been part of Citizens in the Village for about 9 years. And in those 9 years, I've heard a lot about recovery and steps. And a lot of those stories, I don't know if somewhere along the way, the lies that twisted for me to believe that steps is where you go when you're at the end of your rope. It's for where you go when you go through big life-altering things that matter. And I just didn't really believe that my stuff mattered. So fast forward to when I walked into Steps this last fall. I was experiencing a lot of hurt and disappointment in relationships. I found myself very envious of other people's joy that they seem to have in the Lord. And I just walk through life in a lot of fear of people, fear that going into steps, fear of sharing my struggles with people, and then finishing steps and that I would be unchanged. So for the majority of my life, I have just felt very much an outsider, have felt unseen. And so often when I would experience hurt, when you are vulnerable enough to share that with someone else, I often felt that my hurt was pushed aside. The things that people would say to me or not say to me, or the things that would happen to me, just seemed to not really register or matter. And so I got a lot of encouragement to push on, move on. It's okay. It doesn't matter. And somewhere along the line, after that happening over years and into adulthood, it doesn't matter became you don't matter. So over time, with the you don't matter, I didn't feel that I matter to people, and that my pain didn't really matter to God. And I believe that my pain only mattered to God if it interfered with my faithfulness and my obedience to God. And so in steps and through just the immense patience and loving kindness of the Lord, he showed me this mountain of hurt that I had stored up in my heart. And it had led to a lot of unbelief, and it had led to idols of comfort and security. I said that I placed my hope and my trust in the Lord and a lot of things, and that just wasn't true. So much of my focus was on protecting myself from others hurting me, placing controls around my life, and living in a lot of fear. And so looking back, it's no wonder that I lacked a lot of joy. God took me back to a lot of basics that I overlooked, like how critical the armor of God is in fending off lies of the enemy. He reminded me that taking my thoughts captive is not a simple biblical platitude. It's an essential way to apply the gospel to everyday moments, and that he reminded me that joy is worth the fight. God showed me that my pain matters, that I matter, all of it matters, and he loves me. He desires to comfort me and give me healing. He sees me, and he is here to help me in all of it.
So, thank you. Hi, my name's Campbell. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. Very active in sexual recovery as well. So I grew up in a Christian household. I came to believe in Christ at an early age. Was very involved in my church with the children's ministry. Went on to graduate from A&M. Got a teaching job pretty quick. Got married. And my life was off to a good little start. Fast forward about 8 years or so, I have lost that career, lost that wife. Spiraling out of control, right? And so from all appearances, that happened somewhat suddenly. And it took a lot of reflection to realize that wasn't an instantaneous or a light switch kind of situation. While I believed in Christ and was very knowledgeable around scripture and active in the church, I was also very engaged in a dedicated practice of hiding my secret sin, my small stuff, right? The little stuff that doesn't matter. You know, the stuff that I can sweep under the rug and deal with later because God's grace covers it all, right? While there's truth in that, there's also a lot of lies in that too. And the enemy thoroughly convinced me of that. My alcoholism ramped up to a... obviously, ugly point, right? I've lost my job, I've lost my wife, I've lost my home, multiple treatment centers, jail visits, yada, yada, yada. And after a year of not drinking and somewhat in the secular recovery world, I'm still spinning out of control. I can't get myself together. I'm not drinking anymore, but still I'm losing it. I'm miserable. I'm curled up in the fetal position in a twin-sized bed in the front room of my parents' house, and I can't leave the room for 3 months on end. Praying nonstop, God restored to me the joy of my salvation. Right? Cause I could remember that one. You know, it's all still right here, and I was telling Michael this when we first met. Man, I've got it all right here. I know it all, but it's not here. I could not make that connection. God used that time in my life to bring me here reluctantly, And slowly but surely started to reveal to me what had happened in that season, in those 10, 15, 20 years prior, where I deviated slowly but surely and was falling for the lies of the enemy. In St. Augustine's Confessions, he says, I was glad to be in bondage, tied with troublesome chains, with the result that I was flogged with the red-hot iron rods of jealousy, suspicion, fear, anger, and contention. And that was true for me. I was fully enslaved to my addiction by that point. But God did restore to me the joy of my salvation. He used this ministry. He used steps. He used the truths of the gospel to bring me back to a better understanding of who I was relative to who he is. And with that and with the blood of Christ, I'm able to go forward, like Joshua mentioned, with the years the locust ate, slowly but surely starting to bear fruit again. So that's what this ministry has done in part of my life. So thank you.
My name is Richard, and I'm also a business guy. My number is 5.6. That's my height. And amazingly, Mike Hill is my partner, 6'11". God's humor never ceases to amaze me. Anyhow, you know, there's a great pastor who I love, and he says, you know, let's be real. He's out of New York, so you can imagine that, Jim Cimbala. And the thing I love about recovery is that's the whole theme, right? Let's be real. Let's be real people. And, you know, there aren't too many places in the world where you can be real. And so for those of you coming here the first night, you know, or many, many nights, this is a place where you can be real. And it's a freeing experience. So whether you're here for recovery or for steps, man, just keep coming and keep journeying. My story, if someone looked at this whole room, everybody's got a different story. Some overlap. But I would think amongst us, one of the main stories we'd hear is, I came to steps because of somebody. And that's my story. I came here because of a good friend of mine. So let me start real quickly. I came to know Christ when I was in junior high. I went to a great church in Houston, great youth group, and that's where my whole identity was. And I did love the Lord. I walked with Jesus. Went to college, went to a wild college, UT Austin, you can imagine that. But anyways, I did survive that. But I was a good guy. I really was, in my eyes. I mean, I did the right things, you know. I hung with the right people, didn't drink, didn't smoke. I got married. I had three beautiful daughters, and life was going well. You know, business, I had my own business. And but then suddenly one day, out of the clear blue, at least in my mind, my wife comes to me and starts mentioning this god-awful word I never heard of before called divorce. And that was a huge eye-opener. I was an elder in my church for a season. At too young an age, thank goodness I didn't screw the church up because I was there because of pride. But anyways, so things, you know, image-wise, and really even in my heart, I thought, man, things are going great. But they weren't, okay? And I fought for my marriage for 3 years, and I failed. You know, I got served papers on a miserable, cold winter day. I'll never forget it. And so for the first time in my life, really, I had no answers. You know, I still had my quiet time every day. I still prayed. But still, deep down, I was really hurting. And so all the stuff I used to do just didn't solve it, you know. Worried about my girls, what happened to them, would they spin out, all these things. Thankfully, God had a buddy of mine, and we started talking, and he mentioned this thing called recovery. I didn't even know what recovery was, okay? And it was CR at the time at another church. And because I trusted my buddy, because I knew he had my best interest, I went, okay? And that was a life changer because I was surrounded by people that were honest. I'll never forget the first day. I sat in the back row with about 200 people, and I didn't know what was going on. But this guy gets up, and he says, my name is so-and-so, and I struggle with, I won't tell you what it was, but I was so stunned that he said it. I looked around, and no one else moved. I thought, this is crazy. I would never say that in front of anybody. And that started my journey. And then I began to realize that that's how you get well, okay? It's being honest and being forthright with yourself. It starts with yourself. And if I was going to summarize in my journey, what was my biggest problem? It was self-righteousness and pride, okay? And God used a very defining moment called divorce in my life to bring me to a place where I looked in the mirror and said, Richard, you got a pride problem, and you got to deal with it. So that's what I did. And now, about a decade later, after being involved with, you know, recovery, in fact, when I came to our church, they asked me, would you like to help with recovery? I said, oh, no, that season's done. I did that 7 years at another church. And then you know how God works in his interesting way with our height difference and also with that. So God is good, and I encourage you to keep coming, show up, and let God do a wonderful work in your life. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Megan, and I went through STEPS back in 2016. My primary motivation for enrolling in STEPS was that it was actually a requirement of the sending program under the umbrella of the larger Village Church. I had recently joined Wycliffe Bible Translators and was getting ready to head to Southeast Asia for my very first assignment, and in STEPS, God revealed two major things. One, that I had a lot of anger and resentment that I had built up over time against my dad, who, in his own struggle with sin, emotionally manipulated me while growing up, and two, that while I had always thought I didn't actually care what people thought about me, I actually struggled in a big way with fear of man. In fact, my whole identity was wound up around how I thought others perceived me. It took me quite some time to go beyond merely identifying my sin and to begin actually processing through it and looking at it head on. More than that, it took my anxiety increasing to such painful levels, leading to a season of depression, hopelessness, and cynicism. It's clear to me now, but when God abruptly halted my overseas move in 2018, he did so to protect me and to heal me. He brought me into the recovery ministry and began to painfully yet graciously strip away the masks I wore to protect myself and lead people to think of me as a woman who had her crap together and was an excellent candidate for missions, because to be completely honest, I knew how to use spiritualized language to cover up the fact that I was not close with the Lord, and I carried a great deal of shame for the infinite number of ways I had fallen short. And if that wasn't a kind of manipulation, I don't know what else to call it. I haven't arrived, and I'm still fighting against my desire for approval, and I still haven't been able to completely abandon the whole pull yourself up by your own bootstraps lifestyle, but God is a good God. He's allowing me to battle my fear of man to show me just how much better he is, and man, it's hard to say clearly some days, but God has never given up on me, and he has sweetly met me and ministered to my heart through the saints and through his word. Like how we see God move and act in the Old Testament, he's allowed me to be overcome and defeated so that he could show me how he is faithful to those he has set his seal upon, and so that he could show me how mighty he is and that he will deliver his people. And I'm really excited to see how God works and through all of y'all this semester. So
you know, I was talking to those of you who are entering STEPS and just how encouraged I am by your commitment, but I want you guys to know who are leading STEPS, how grateful I am to be able to do this work with you guys. And that goes for our STEPS leaders and our recovery group leaders. And you know, I feel like that as God continues to grow us in our love for him and our love for one another, there is just something unique that's happening among us, and that we just get to have, though we are serious about our sin and that we are even more serious about our Savior, that we get to enjoy one another too. And I just want to encourage you. I know that sometimes it takes a long time to develop relationships, to cultivate the relationships that you meet with people in groups, outside of groups. And so we try to be intentional about that within STEPS and try to provide fellowship opportunities and things like that. So just keep your ears out for those opportunities. And one way to do that is by serving together. The other thing that I really love about nights like tonight is that you get to see the diversity of different struggles that people enter into steps. And so those that diversity comes with the different types of struggles, but it also comes in the degree of those struggles. And so I hear so many times people come in and there's no one I can identify with, you know? Sometimes it's an age thing, sometimes it is, I know in secular recovery, oftentimes we would tell war stories and we'd one-up one another and one-up one another. And so unless it was just off the charts, then somehow, you know, your sin struggle was not just as equally as difficult to overcome, that we are powerless to overcome sin apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can try to manage it and we can try to cover it up, but the hope is that we would overcome it. And so, and then you can flip it around too. You can say, that I'm not struggling to the degree that other people are struggling, and so there must not be a place for me here. And so we try to say, from the first time you walk in, that it's a safe place for men and women, regardless of age, color, ethnicity, nationality, struggle, or degree. A safe place for men and women to pursue redemption in Christ from the otherwise enslaving interplay of sin and suffering. And listen, it is an open door ministry to the community, which means that we welcome those of us who are still skeptical to the claims of Christ. We are not imposing our belief, but we're thankful that you're here because we believe that the Lord is sovereign in bringing you here and wants to speak to you. And so we always talk about this. Though the Lord desires obedience, that's not really where it starts. It starts with first inviting you to know him. Because to know him, if you really know him, you will love him because he's just that good. And that if we love him, we will trust him. And if we trust him, then we'll obey him. And that's something that is taught just at the most basic level here, even to our kids, to invite kids to know him. Because if we know him, we will love him. If we love him, we will trust him. And if we trust him, we will obey him. So with that, I'm going to close with a prayer that I'm going to invite Allie up just to give us some announcements, and then we're going to dismiss to groups, and she'll probably give you instruction. But if you're here for steps, then you're going to stay in this room while everyone else is dismissed. So, Father God, I thank you that we are a ministry that wants to put on display here within our city and to the nations, Lord, the power of the gospel to change lives. And I thank you for the opportunity to proclaim what's already been demonstrated in the hearts and lives of these leaders. And I pray tonight for those who came in discouraged tonight, that there might have just been something that was said that might encourage their hearts, to where there is hopelessness, Lord, that maybe there is just a crack in the door of light, of hope. And so I pray that you would not just bless where we are coming from, that you would help whatever truth was spoken tonight, not to just leave us as we leave here, but to really be deeply planted in us and in time bear good fruit. We pray for our groups now and pray that you would bless them and bless our leaders, that you would lead by your Spirit in those groups and equip us as we go. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.